Beer with Pleasant Strangers, episode 10. Hey, welcome to another podcast episode of Beer with Pleasant Strangers. I'm with my good buddy Matt here, and I convinced him to be on a podcast. He's here in town from San Diego, and I said, let me come over and let's shoot one. So I got him on the couch. He's from Boston, yeah. Yeah, Matt, tell us a little bit about yourself after you take a swig.
A little bit about me. From Boston, love craft beer. I love coming to San Diego, love the craft beer scene out here. Love the people I've met out here. Do the Instagram thing. That's kind of how I really got into it.
Yeah. So I first met you like, what, a year and a half ago here in San Diego. You came to a share, I think. So
through Regan, who works over at Stone Brewing.
Yes, Regan at Stone.
He's a Boston boy too, kind of.
Yes, family. He totally is. He's a huge fanboy of too. Like he gets butthurt every time we make fun of his teams. Which is easy to get his goat, but that's neither here nor there. Someday I'll convince him to get on a podcast, but until then, Regan, I've got my crosshairs on you. So, you know, tell me a little bit about how you got sucked into this whole craft beer thing.
Oh boy. I got sucked in from my best friend, Adam. He just recently had moved to Vermont.
Ooh.
And I showed up at his bachelor party. And at that time, I think my beer of choice was probably Heineken Light or something fun like that.
Oh, yeah. I used to like Heineken, too. And,
not Heineken. Only Heineken Light.
Oh.
I didn't like the smell of Heineken. And it was either that or like cocktails and stuff like that. But he showed up at his bachelor party with this beer that he wanted everyone to try by the name of Heady Topper.
And oh, geez.
I was like, nah, I'm good. I don't want to try it. And everyone started drinking it and getting really excited about it. His brother, I remember, got like really excited about it. So I was like, all right, let me try this thing, see what's going on. And I had it, and I thought it was okay, actually. I was like, ah, it's pretty good, but I'll drink Heineken Lights for the rest of the night. And, you know, went out, did our thing. About a week later was his wedding, and he, at his wedding, also had, back then you could actually get Heady Topper easily. That's how long ago it was.
Wow, okay, yeah.
He just showed up at the brewery with his buddy and just bought a bunch of cases. And
it was just there.
Yeah, exactly. And drove it back down to Boston for the wedding. And they were serving at the wedding. It was like an open bar, and Heady Topper was one of the items that was so... When I went up, I said, oh, let me try that beer again. And drank it, and I sat there and kind of let it sit. And I was like, man, had another one. And then I went up to him and said, hey, man, I think I love that beer. And he just started dying laughing because he knew exactly what he was doing. And he had me trapped into it. And then, for that time, I was only just drinking IPAs and stuff like that. And was trying to, then he brought me to an extreme beer festival. Got into it there. Trillium was right down the street from there. Realized that was up the street, so I became obsessed with Trillium. And then I have family that lives in San Diego. And so I was coming out here a lot and just...
Oh, yeah.
Went to a bar called Toronado.
Okay, yeah.
And then it just took off from there.
Yeah, gosh.
You
know,
you ever tried a sour beer? No, what's that? And then that's when it went to the next level, sour beer.
Yeah, okay. So that's pretty interesting. So you went from Heineken Light to Heady Topper.
Yes.
That was your, man, so yeah. Your friend really got it. I mean, that was similar to what I, when I first had beer, or really got into IPAs for the very, very first time. It was Stone IPA versus regular Heineken. We had them both in the fridge.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was kind of funny, like,
see, I wasn't
to
too
make
familiar
that jump.
With Stone. We didn't really have, you had to go like to like more of a specialty shop to get it where I was at.
Yeah. Geez. So, like, how many years ago was that, would you say? Do you know?
That was probably, I'd say, maybe 4 years ago. Three and a half years ago or so. And so I took the ball and ran with it. Might be an understatement, but...
So you said sours was what took it to the next level. What was the sour beer that you had?
Do you remember? Actually, it was at Stone Brewing over at, what's it, Liberty Station, I think it's called, something like that.
Yeah, the one down by the airport.
It was just like the standard ones. The I'll hack the names. That's the thing about all these beers, the names will be wrong. It was a Duchess Day.
Oh, De Burgoyne or whatever?
Yeah,
I don't know how to pronounce it either, exactly.
You know, there's some Flanders Red Ales and stuff like that. I mean, it was like all, it wasn't anything.
Okay.
This was more of like a low-key start. It wasn't like you started with the cable car and Duck Duck Goose.
Oh, gosh.
You know.
Yeah.
So I found like, about those later on. But my buddy, he was big into beer trading, too. And in turn, I got him into sour beers. He was actually just, you know, IPAs and stuff.
Yeah, okay.
And so, and then he had this Beer Advocate account was really big into beer trading, and then I thought that was a little weird at first, but
so this,
the game's changed on that.
This is the same friend, huh, who led you down, like the Pied Piper led you down the path. So can you, you've had a lot of stuff now, by now, I'm guessing, like you've tried
I've had
a lot
my
of
fair
things.
Share,
yeah,
I think. I've in the term of ticking beers.
Yes. What I mean, can you pick out anything that's been like any other ones that were like a big moment for you when you had that, it like kind of changed your mind or like
a big moment for beers that changed my mind or.
Yeah. Like when you tried a beer and you're like, okay, I need to investigate this style more or this brewery more. Was there anything like,
the first time I had Fundamental Observation from Bottle Logic, I remember that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I was like, what is this? That was like the first like sweet barrel aged stout. I like sweets. A lot of people don't like that. And like, you know, finding about adjuncts and stuff like that.
Pastry stouts.
Yeah.
Was that batch one or batch two?
That one might've been batch two actually.
Last year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one kind of changed me big time into barrel aged stouts. I mean, I liked them, but that was a game changer where I was like, I gotta have more of this. Because of the sweetness and the vanilla punch that it had.
Just like,
I started kind of chasing vanilla barrel-aged stouts.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, exactly.
That whole category of stouts right there is crazy.
Nothing else that really like changed me. I mean, it's more about like, I love being with friends and drinking beer.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think the thing I like now is when I do get something that's supposed to be noteworthy or magical, you know, that big beer, it's always like a big occasion. Like there's some kind of friend involved that like I'm waiting to see or, you know, happy to hang out with. So I think that's what I love about it the most, and the camaraderie I've made with a lot of friends I've made.
Yeah.
You know, so the Tuesday Night Beer Club, you know, those guys.
Yeah, Tuesday Night Beer Society. Yeah,
those
that was a fun time.
They're good guys.
Matt joined us on the it was Tuesday night for one of those. And that was probably one of the more intense ones that I can remember because
that was fun.
There was a lot of stuff that got popped.
Quick.
Yeah, it was. And what was your favorite one from that night? Do you remember?
From that night?
You pick one.
Jeez.
You don't have to pick one. I just like asking that question.
Like, well, who was your favorite kid that day?
Yeah.
Who was your favorite person to hang out with that day?
Yeah.
Not you, because you opened that bottle and made me look like an idiot. It wasn't you. You videotaped it. Sean popped it open.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Sean popped an add item. Or add eat 'em.
Yes. That Fundamental Summation. That was probably...
Yeah.
That was great. That was a great vanilla taste to it too, the barrel aged
coffee stout mixed
actually,
with the
one
stout,
I liked
yeah.
a lot too was the Framboy for a Cure.
Russian River
The 2015. I've had one before that I was saving, and there was definitely some kind of variation with that. The raspberry and the nose was really great on this one, so it actually, the first time I had it, it was like, oh, what's the big deal with this beer? But the raspberries really came through on this. So I think taking care of your bottles is sometimes a big deal with beer.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, I mean, you make it out here, what, every once a quarter?
Yeah, I try to.
Yeah,
I'm a seasonal visitor.
What's a brewery, I mean, from anywhere in the world, actually, what's a brewery right now that you, like, are super stoked on what they're doing?
Oh, around the world. Jeez.
I know. There's a lot.
I mean, in this area, I like Bottle Logic a lot. Probably from where I'm from. I mean, Treehouse is really like something we really always get excited about.
Yeah, you're in the neighborhood of Treehouse out there. In fact, that's what we were just drinking just now. What were we drinking? We were drinking Doppelganger. Little Doppelganger.
Which we found out is a variation of Alter Ego, right?
Yeah, you were describing it. You said it's Alter Ego. I forget what all the other differences are about it.
They have so many different cool beers. Hill Farmstead's one that I get really excited about. I mean, they're always doing cool stuff.
Someone's here. We're gonna take a break for a minute because it sounds like they're carrying a heavy case, perhaps filled with
the muscles on this
bottles
guy.
Of beer. So we're gonna take a quick break and we'll be right back. All right, we're back from a little break, and during the break we cracked open Haze from Treehouse. Haze, guys. And Sean joins us, and now he's shotgunning the haze, or he's soloing the haze. Now we can't drink from that can anymore. So haze actually is one of their core beers now, right?
Yeah, basically I think it's Green, Julius, and Hayes.
And those are just always available.
The big treehouse rumor is when the new place opens in July is those three will always be available.
Ooh.
It's your beer rumor for the
Rumor for the podcast. Yeah. All right. We'll find out if it comes true. So actually, so you were talking about Treehouse right before we took our break. And, you know, if for people out there who've never tried Treehouse, what's one beer that they should try? Like if you were trying to get
one
someone.
One beer they should, if you try, Julius.
Give them Julius. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Just that. Or Julius or Hayes, that or Green, the three standard ones. But if I had to pick out of those three, Julius, just because that was a game changer for me too, actually. Just that juiciness, that hop, that smooth, crisp, fluffy IPA cloud.
Yeah.
Everything awesome. Taste.
Have you gone to any special events at Treehouse?
No, I've actually, every time they've had a special event, I've been in California. So, I know, right? Terrible.
It's an opportunity cost to go into California.
Yeah. Psh.
Did you ever get like the King Julius and all the Julius ones and all that stuff?
Yeah, I've chased them all. It's like chasing a dragon, but.
Yeah.
Those were good. King Julius was pretty fantastic too. I think it was just like a extra hopped version of Julius. So that's the thing though. I don't really know much about, I have like certain friends that always tell me what the difference is with everything, but they just taste awesome. They taste great.
The encyclopedias of beer.
Yes. They haven't steered me wrong yet. So, and the stouts are pretty good too.
And Trillium came along after Treehouse did. I mean, they opened, what, how many years ago? 4 years ago?
I don't know which one came first, honestly. So I don't want to be misquoted and have people flip out. But I think Treehouse came first.
I think they did, too. I feel like they did. I had a buddy who went out there and visited them a few years back and got me a growler, one of those little growlers, mm-hmm. of Treehouse Green.
Yep.
And I had it at home. He sent it to me, and I had it, and then, like, I had to leave and go on a trip, and it was sitting in my fridge, and I was like, oh, no, it's like a hoppy beer. I can't leave it. Yeah. So I popped it and never had any Treehouse before, so it was Green was the first one I ever had.
Green was your first one? Nice.
Yeah, and I soloed the whole 750-mil, you know, growler, which is not a ton of beer, but as I drank it, I was like, this is incredible, and I felt horrible guilt because I was drinking it all by myself, and none of my friends got to have it.
That's a good one to share if people aren't around, though, for sure.
But then, later on, like, everybody started, like, everyone's getting trading for Treehouse and stuff like that out here.
My whole beer seller commodity. Is credited to the trading of Treehouse, so.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's, like, the craziest trade you ever pulled for, like, some Treehouse, or traded Treehouse for, I should say?
Craziest? Nothing crazy. I'm not big on, like, the winning of the trades, but when I first, I never had Canteon before, and that was like a big white whale for me. So when I think it was King Julius first came out, I'm pretty sure it was King Julius, I traded two cans of King Julius and a growler of regular Julius for a 2010 Lou Pepe Goose, actually.
What?
Yeah.
Whoa.
This guy really wanted it, and King Julius was like huge at that point. It had never been canned. It was the first time it was ever canned, so people were going nuts. So he reached out to me and offered me the trade, and I was like, sure. And they're doing a couple nice extras for him of other Treehouse and Trillium. But
so then that was your very first Canteon that you ever had then? Was the Lou Pep?
Yeah.
Lou Pepe?
Yep.
Dang.
Yeah. So
that's a good one.
Yeah, it sure was. but I haven't had too many of those. I mean, those aren't easy to come by. Because usually when someone sees them, they buy them all, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah, we're not looking at anyone in particular who just may not have gone to a bottle shop and scored one right before they all sold out. That happened to me, actually, at that very same bottle shop. I walked in there, and they had Deal with the Devil Batch 2.
Really?
Sitting on the ground, a case of it opened, like they hadn't put it on the shelf yet, and I saw it down there, and I was like, oh, I think that's supposed to be like a good beer. Like, and I looked at the price, it was like $35, and I was like, at the time, I had a hard time plunking down that much money, and then some dude walked in behind me and was like, just grab the whole box. And took it up to the counter.
Really?
And I was like, oh, geez, okay. Well, there goes that was my chance, I guess.
You didn't even get one?
No, I didn't even get one. Jeez. No.
Have you had it?
I have, yeah.
So
I had it later on.
It's funny you bring that beer up, too, because when you asked me earlier about, you know, beers that were game changers for you.
Yeah.
That was definitely a game changer for me for barley wines. I saw it at a share, and who makes that? Anchorage, I think?
Yes.
So I remember seeing someone like busted it out at a share, and they were like really proud about it. And I was like, I never even heard of it. I was like, what the hell's the big deal about an Anchorage beer?
And Arlo.
And then my buddy's like, oh, you haven't heard about this beer? You got to try it. And man, it was totally different from any of the sweetness, the way it just stayed on my lips, and the smoothness of it, and it wasn't boozy at all.
Yeah.
And it was like just really sweet.
Do you know if that, it was probably a batch two then, I'm guessing, that you had.
Yes, it definitely wasn't the ones that I think, like there's 200 bottles of each of the other ones or something, something crazy, no.
And yeah, I agree with you. I like that that beer is unique.
Yeah.
I mean, like it's like one of those things that changes your mind about what a barley wine can be,
At all. I don't even know much about barley wines, but I mean, I'm starting to learn. But I wonder if like a true barley wine connoisseur would even say like, this is a barley wine, or because it's so different from all the other barley wines I've had.
Yeah. That's DDB. He loves barley wines.
Who's a barley wine guy?
Don't drink beer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's a barley wine guy.
It was just... Can I interject something?
Yeah. Yeah, Sean, you can interject your barley wine microphone.
About 2013 Great. That's a barley wine, isn't it?
Yes.
That's
in that league,
is
too.
An absolute game-changing beer, too. Like, and I mean, I still have a bottle of 2015. Is it 2015 that they came out with it?
Yes.
Or is it 2016?
I've been
16, but I still have a bottle of 2015 Great.
It was the end. It was like December.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hanging around. And I remember we drank them side by side at Rob's birthday party. And it didn't hold a finger to the 2013.
It didn't?
No, not at all. It was still absolutely delicious, but the 2013 was easily the most delicious barley wine I've ever tried. I haven't had Deal with the Devil.
Yeah, but I definitely recommend that. I haven't had a lot of the big barley wines either. I know King Henry's like a big one people talk about.
I
don't know that many barley wines that are in
Old
that
Guardian.
I actually don't even know
such
that
a whale.
See, I don't even know much about barley wines.
Yeah, Old Guardian's the Stone's barley wine, just their regular barley wine.
See, I don't know much about Stone. You guys are like making jokes about Stone, but
Old Guardian. Well, actually, so you know the very first barley wine I ever had, now that we're talking about barley wines, because why not, was from Hess. You ever had anything from Hess here in San Diego?
Hess is probably the first craft beer bar I ever went to, actually.
Okay. The one in North Park?
Yes.
That one's...
Is that the one they give you the coin or something? You get in exchange it for a glass?
I don't remember. I think so. That's how it works. It's like where you walk in and
right by Bottlecraft, right?
You're walking in over the brewery when you walk in the main...
That's the first craft beer brewery I went to in San Diego, actually.
That's... And fun fact about that one, it started as a Bible study. Turned into a homebrew thing.
Really?
Turned into a nano brewery. Got written up in the New York Times, and then... But, you know, went from there, basically.
Nice.
Those guys are cool. But they made... I don't know if they've made it recently. I don't remember what it's called. I have to look it up. I'll look it up, put it in the show notes. I'll put the name of it. But they made a barley wine, and I went there to their little... Before they opened the North Park, they had, like, an industrial site roll-up door, walk up, and they had, like, a little, you know, horribly carpentered together bar. Not horribly, but, you know, very basic bar. And I was like, barley wine? It's like, what the heck is a barley wine? And at the time, I was like, well, I like wine, and I'm getting into this beer thing, so I'll try the barley wine. And that was the very first one I ever had, and it was sweet, and it was kind of murky, kind of muddy.
Was it a barrel-aged barley wine?
No, it was just a standard barley wine. But like Stone's Old Guardian, which I don't know if I've ever had that one.
That one's the untapped thing. I have to pull it up and see, you know.
That one's a hoppy barley wine.
That's how I keep track of everything.
Yeah.
Hoppy barley wine?
Yeah, I mean, like, all of Stone's barley wines over the years have all been very, like, on the bitter hop side of things. They're less the gooey, like, molten caramel fountain.
Yeah, they
turn
into that after 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, after 7 or 8 years, as Sean was saying, they might turn into that.
Well, it does.
That's the thing about Stone. It's here, like Stone's logistics. I don't know who runs their, who like manages their whole cellar of everything that they've got. But they just must be math wizards, because you'll go up to the brewery and they'll just have in the case for sale bottles to go from a beer that they made 10 years ago in bottles.
That's
I'm
cool.
Like, how do you still have just bottles of this 10-year-old beer?
That makes you wonder how many more they have left.
I went to their 20th anniversary last year. They had Imperial Russian Stout bottled in from 2000. bottles of it. Now, if you think, do the math, they were only 4 years old, going on 5 years old at the time that they made that.
Who knew to keep that?
Yeah, someone had the brain to measure the consumption and storage and cellaring of all these beers that they've just made. And it's just like it was like a special beer that they made once a year, right? But it's like nowadays, it's not like considered I don't think it's considered like an extremely special beer because everyone's making stouts now, but like, they saved it for that long. So it was last year it was a 16-year-old beer. It was old enough to drive a car, but not old enough to drink. So that's odd.
We're sitting in a self-driving car, right?
Yeah, not a self-driving car. That's right. Yeah. With self-driving cars, will we be allowed to drink in them? That's what I wonder. That's a
good question. I would say yes. No, I'd say no, actually. Well, if something goes wrong in the self-driving car, are you supposed to take over, or is it like in time cup where you're just sitting down on the couch and like sleeping while the car drives?
Yeah, I don't know, because you can't really jump in and start driving if you're passed out sleeping and the car does malfunctions or something.
Kind of alarm go off or something.
Although, you know, so I don't know what the laws are from state to state or if it even matters, but like, you know, if you're in a limousine, you can drink, right?
Sure.
If you're being chauffeured around, but that also serves like that also applies, I think, to car services. Like, so like not Uber, but like
you guys have party buses out here and those kind of things.
They have party buses. Yeah. But like, if you get picked up by like just a car service, like, which I do from time to time for work, I technically am allowed to just drink in that car if I want to.
Fancy.
So make them go drop by a bomb
shop. You haven't done it yet?
No, I haven't done it yet, no. Usually I'm getting picked up at 4 in the morning, and it's not the most optimal time to... I did do it once. I had drank a Bloody Mary one time in one, because I thought it would help me sleep on the flight, and I was mistaken. It was a really spicy Ballast Point Bloody Mary that is now Cutwater. And if I don't know if you've had one of those, they are like...
I have not.
...fiery hot. They're delicious, but they're so spicy. Yeah, set my stomach on fire. I did not sleep on that plane. But anyways, that's getting off topic. So, thanks for joining me on this podcast today.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Hope I brought something to the table on this.
That was fun. Like,
very honored to be asked to be a part of this.
I usually ask people, let's say at the end, you know.
This is going
to
be the first podcast I ever listened to.
First podcast you ever listened to. All right, cool. We'll rate it 5 stars on iTunes or Google Play. Yeah, you can. Write a really nice review. Say how nice we were. If anyone wants to follow you or follow your exploits, should they do it on Instagram?
Yeah, I'd say Instagram is probably
the best. Follow you on Instagram?
Judge_Dregs. Judge Dregs. Like, you know, Judge Dreg.
Okay, yep.
Funny drinking night with my buddy from Vermont, so.
And that's what you came up with?
He loved the name, and most people hate it, but.
Nice.
That's why I chose it, I think.
So go follow Matt. And then, Matt, you do trade from time to time.
I do. Actually, no more trades.
Taking a step back.
Too much beer.
But what if someone had something to offer to you? What would bring you out of hibernation?
That's a good question. Final question. What would bring me out of hibernation? Let me think really hard, in case someone does see this.
You don't have like a little black book of like beer wants.
Yeah.
SR71. I want it.
I have had that.
You have?
I have.
I have not had it.
Not so share that you were at.
That was a crazy share. Yeah.
Oh.
Marshmallow Hanji, 2016.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've never had that one.
15. Probably 16.
Vanilla stouts. That's the vanilla stout
right
there.
Anything sweet. Or rare sours that I've never heard of.
There you go. All right. Well, if anyone listening decides they want to have one of those for trade, which who knows?
Cable car. Yeah, cable
car.
Bring your cable car. Got plenty of IPAs for you.
Cool, man. Well, thanks for joining me.
All right, Joel,
and
thank you.
Hold on,
I got no beer in here.
Oh no, yeah. You can find some, get some more haze.
Sorry, guys.
Here. We'll take a break while he cracks one before we cheers at the end. In the meantime, while he's finding a new beer, you know, subscribe on iTunes if you don't already, or it's Apple Podcasts now, I should say, or Google Play Music, and go to beerwithpleasantstrangers.com and watch the videos if you like. And our camera guy is getting a little pour for himself, Aaron, there. And cheers, everybody. This is great. Now we're going to turn off the computer and the camera and drink more beer. In the meantime, don't be a stranger. Mm-hmm.